turn our focus now to the Denver Broncos, of course, the Raiders' AFC rival. And we're going to head out on the Newsmaker line and bring in now Kyle Newman. He covers the Broncos for the Denver Post. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Newman DP. And Kyle, we look at these Broncos in this 2020 season. I see injuries. I see the need for more consistent play. I mean, I've seen times when they've looked really good, but sum up the 2020 season as we head into the last week here for the Broncos.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been bad omen after bad omen. It started with Von Miller's injury 6 days before the season opener, and it got worse from there. Cortland Sutton, top wideout, going down in week two. Obviously, Drew Locke has had his struggles. He was sidelined for a couple games with a shoulder injury. He's thrown 15 interceptions, which is tied for the NFL lead. So lots of struggles all around, lots of growing pains. And Vic Fangio's second year here, he was looking to take some steps forward, but really the team has regressed. And, you know, injuries, COVID factors have really played into that too. But teams across the league are dealing with that, and Broncos obviously not as well as many other teams.
Yeah, and I want to touch on Fangio towards the end of the conversation because that I'd love to hear kind of your take on that situation. But let's start with the team a little bit. Start with quarterback because, of course, it's been an issue for the Broncos. They went out and they got Drew Locke. They really liked him. I know John Elway liked him. He's been in there. He's looked good at times. He's been inconsistent. Where are they now with him? I mean, you're starting to see mock drafts, right? Of course, that's that time of the year. You're starting to see mock drafts where you see the Broncos perhaps going and getting Justin Fields. Where is Drew Locke in the progression, and where is the organization on trusting him as the future of the team?
You know, I would say right now they have trust in him, but they were probably going to bring in somebody else in the offseason, I'd imagine, to push him, whether that's a veteran, you know, off the market, maybe a Carson Wentz type player, or somebody via the draft. Now, obviously, they're not going to have the guy that everyone wants in the draft, Trevor Lawrence, unless they trade up for him. But right now, I think they're going ahead the Drew Locke train. Now, would they have liked to see probably more growth from him this year? Yes. But like I said earlier, Cortland Sutton out for the year, so he didn't have his top pass catcher. Noah Fant, the tight end, has been up and down. You know, the running game has been inconsistent with Philip Lindsay in and out of the lineup due to injury, and obviously he won't play this Sunday against the Raiders because of being on injured reserve. So there's been lots of external factors at play, but bottom line is Drew Locke has got to get better in his decision-making. Nick Fangio knows that. Pat Shurmur knows that. And that comes down to not forcing the ball into traffic, forcing the ball downfield. That's been a lot of his interceptions so far. Of the 15 have been him forcing the ball into tight coverage where it's just there's nothing there. He's got to learn to take the check down and really be a more patient, mature quarterback. I think they're hoping that he kind of evolves into that. And, you know, there's been a lot of comparison. Broncos a couple weeks ago got blown out by the Bills. And Josh Allen, of course, John Elway passed on him in the draft a couple years ago in favor of Bradley Chubb. A lot of second-guessing of that in Denver. But a lot of Broncos hopefuls saying, hey, look at Josh Allen and how he progressed from year one to year three. Now an MVP candidate leading the Bills to the playoffs. Broncos fans hoping Drew Locke can have that same progression. But I tell you what, not so patient around these parts, especially when it comes to the quarterback position.
Yeah, I can understand why. And staying on the offensive side of the ball, Kyle, I mean, you look, you mentioned some of the players there. You got a young core there with Fant, with Jerry Jeudy, and of course, Lindsay, Melvin Gordon's there. And you're right about the kind of snake bit nature of 2020 for the Broncos with injuries and guys coming in and out. But is there a sense, too, that they need veteran leadership? That may come at quarterback, or could it come in other places as well to kind of get that team, maybe a veteran, to kind of show those young guys how it's done?
Yeah, I mean, I think it might come in other places. And also, you know, like I said, maybe bring in a backup, a guy like a Carson Wentz who could maybe win the job from Drew Locke outright next year's camp, or at the very least push him along. But I really think John Elway is putting a lot of eggs in the basket of this very young offensive core. And we saw that in this year's draft, the Broncos taking receivers with their first two picks for the first time in team history in Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler. Now, those two guys have also been up and down. K.J. Hamler kind of a slow start out of the gate because of the hamstring injury in training camp. He's come on strong in a couple games, been kind of invisible in others. Jerry Jeudy is coming off a five-drop game. So he's got some redemption to do here in this season finale of his rookie campaign to really prove that he is the guy that everyone thought he was when they took him at number 15. So long answer to your question, I really do think they're going to sink a lot into this young offensive core, Noah Fant included, Drew Locke included, Melvin Gordon, I think, will be back as part of his two-year deal. Phillip Lindsay, his future in Denver is in doubt. There's a question mark there. He'll be a restricted free agent. So in the backfield, there might be some questions, but out at wide out, at tight end with Noah Fant and with Albert O, who's on the injured list, has been since November, but he'll be back for his second year, and the Broncos are high on him, that rookie tight end. So lots of pieces to build around. But you're right, the veteran presence, I'm going to go to Cortland Sutton. That's going to be the guy who they're really going to rely on next year. It'll be his fourth year in the league, should I say. So he's going to really emerge, I think, as a voice in that locker room and in that huddle once he's healthy again.
Yeah, that was a big loss for them on offense. We're talking to Kyle Newman from the Denver Post. And Kyle, on the defensive side of the ball, you talked about Bradley Chubb. Of course, missing Von Miller was huge for this defense. But where are they? I mean, the defense of the Broncos has always been known as a strength. And again, that was hit by the injury bug as well. And then you have Justin Simmons. Justin Simmons, they have a decision to make there. Are they trying to sign him long term, or might they tag him again?
I would be surprised if Simmons goes elsewhere. Whether they tag him or come to a long-term deal, that's kind of up in the air. You know, based off how last season went, I'd imagine they try and get him locked into a long-term deal here, especially with him, you know, turning in another Pro Bowl season. He was second-team All-Pro last year. Imagine he'll be All-Pro again this year when that comes out. So locking him down, definitely a priority, but you know, there's certainly lots of question marks for John Elway going into that offseason. And on the defensive front, especially with Shelby Harris, he'll be a free agent after re-upping with Denver on a one-year deal prior to this year. And he's played at a Pro Bowl caliber level too. So lots of things to address. And it'll be interesting to see how, you know, John Elway uses the draft versus maybe bringing in some guys in free agency. Those guys didn't really work out this year, i.e., you know, Jarrell Casey coming in and he got hurt in week two or week three, should I say, out for the season. So Bryce Callahan, another one of those kind of free agent busts. Juwan James, he opted out of this season at right tackle, but before that, not very consistent. So lots to do on Elway's list and really lots to do to catch not just the Chiefs, who are stratospheres above them, but the Raiders, too, who despite their struggles this year, have seemingly surpassed the Broncos, especially in that matchup in Las Vegas in November.
Yeah, and it's interesting too when you look at the division, right? And you look at the quarterbacks in the division and what's happening there. The emergence of Justin Herbert, who's had such a great freshman campaign in the NFL, is pretty amazing. All right, let's talk about Vic Fangio now. Now, comparing Vic Fangio's personality to John Gruden might not seem fair because they're very different. Of course, one coach known for offense, the other coach known for defense. But it seems to me Vic Fangio is a very polarizing figure within the Bronco community and how people look at this. It's, yes, he wins seven games last year, and now they're at 5-10 with one left against the Raiders here on Sunday. What's the overall feel on Vic Fangio and the issues that he's been facing and maybe his shortcomings so far in the head coach role at the Broncos?
Well, he's definitely getting a pass for this year. And, I mean, he acknowledged in his conversations with the front office, Joe Ellis, president, and John Elway, GM, that he expects to be back for next season, year three, despite regressing from last year's 7-9 mark. But, like you said, the fan base kind of split about him. He's had some blunders in game management and clock management this year and last year, the inability of the team to close out close games, especially last year, and then this year again when they started 0-4 and then 0-3 respectively. So lots of things to shore up, but when you're looking at it from John Elway's perspective, I think Fangio gets, you know, like I said, kind of a pass for this year considering all of the injuries, the COVID issues. I mean, Shelby Harris, one of his best defensive players, sidelined for four games. He had defensive coordinator Ed Donatell out of pocket for six games as he was in the hospital battling the virus. So there's been lots of molehills. And he's also had to deal with the quarterback situation. Obviously, Broncos not playing any quarterbacks in Week 12 against the Saints in that loss. All of them either on the COVID list or sidelined due to the infractions and meetings for not wearing their masks. So he's had all these sorts of these hiccups. It's going to buy him another year. But if we're sitting here a year from now having the same discussion, I think he's going to be on the hot seat or on his way out.
Well, and Kyle, when you look at Fangio and the Broncos in 2020, I know that there's been some problems, too, with the offense. How much of a possibility is it that he finds additional help to come in and help with the offense? Because I know, you know, he gets all the credit in the world when defense does well, being, you know, the quote-unquote defensive-minded coach. But I know, too, that they need some help on offense. Is that a possibility? Are you hearing any of that?
You know what? I don't really think so. I think they really got a lot of those pieces. I think maybe up front on the offensive line is where you'll see them go and get help. Lloyd Cushenberry's been pretty solid at center as a rookie. Garrett Bowles bounced back campaign at left tackle. I'm surprised he didn't make the Pro Bowl. But beyond that, kind of some other question marks. Graham Glasgow has been pretty decent at guard and Dalton Reisner at the other guard. But the right tackle has been a problem. It's been a problem for the Broncos the last several years. So if there's anyone on offense that they're going to go get help, I think it's there. They've got all the skill pieces in place. They're going to hope Drew Lock continues to evolve and mature in year three next year. But right tackle has been a problem. Juwan James, as I mentioned, opted out. They've had, I think, four starting tackles there this year. They just can't find consistency, and that might be the top draft priority on the offensive side of the ball for John Elway.
And Pat Shurmur is safe there? No sense that they're going to make a change there?
I don't think so, especially after parting ways with Rich Fangarello last year.
Right.
I think they need continuity with Drew Lock here and trying to get him settled into a system.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, to Sunday, before we let you go, clearly the Broncos, I know the impossible happens and Cincinnati beats Baltimore, the Broncos could move up to number 5 in the draft order. When you look at this, you know, I know fans like to say, oh, well, teams are going to tank, and I don't think ever that players do. You and I know, we cover these guys, they're professionals, they do their job on the field, but teams can hold guys back, they cannot play certain players. What do you think the Broncos' motivation is going to be for Sunday to go out and beat the Raiders, other than it's the Raiders, and it's, of course, a big AFC rivalry?
Yeah, you mentioned a draft positioning, but I don't think there's going to be any thought of that in these players' minds, especially after the struggles the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Getting shellacked by Buffalo and then losing the disappointing game to the Chargers, a team that I think they're better than. So they're going to come out with a chip on their shoulder, I think, and especially trying to get some momentum into next year. All season long, we've heard the Broncos say that they're a better team than they have displayed. And especially against the Raiders, who, you know, there's a debacle in the desert, as we call the Denver Post, and that's in Las Vegas in November. First trip to Las Vegas, and one to forget for the Broncos, as they just played awful. Drew Lock, 4 interceptions, I believe. So I'd imagine they've got to come out with a chip on their shoulder and get a win against the Raiders. They're arch rival. You know, let's not sugarcoat that. They're the arch rival, despite the Chiefs' prominence in the division. So lots at stake, even though it's, you know, kind of a meaningless game for the Broncos.
Well, you're right. Drew Lock did the impossible in 2020, and that's that he made the Raiders' defense look good. That doesn't happen very much at all. But Kyle Newman from the Denver Post, follow him at Kyle Newman DP. Kyle, thank you so much, my friend, and have a great new year.
Hey, appreciate you having me on.
All right, there you go, Kyle Newman. So you're up to date on the Broncos. Yeah, it'll be an interesting game. That's the thing, too. Even when there's nothing on the line, the Broncos and the Raiders just don't like each other. They've never have. Fans get into it on social media. You name it, it's always good fun. So you can expect, I'm sure, a scrappy affair up at Mile High in Denver on Sunday. Okay, we'll take our final break. When we come back, we'll close out the show. Your call, 702-365-9200 is the number. You're here on Silver and Black Today. I am Scott Colbranson, only on Raider Nation Radio.